So those things can only happen when you don't have a plan. And when you let loose completely, and when you completely go with the flow.
You're listening to the Remote Explorers podcast, a show that allows you to connect, learn, and be inspired by the stories of people who have used the power of remote work to have unconventional experiences in their lives. The podcast is hosted by Mayur and Shahzada, who are experienced and equally curious remote workers.
Welcome to Remote Explorers podcast. It's been a long time since we recorded last podcast, so we are quite excited to have Praveen Singh on the podcast. So today we'll hear about Praveen's story of living the corporate life, getting into freelancing, being a digital nomad, traveling through India and Southeast Asia. We'll also talk about his view on the future of work in India. So let's get started. Praveen, nice to have you on the podcast.
Thank you for having me, Mayur and Shahzada.
Thank you for joining us, Praveen.
Happy to be here and happy to be in Nomadgaon in this month of November and December. And it's exciting time to, good to be outside of the house finally after being in lockdown for 6 months of the year. So yeah.
What's your story? Where did it start? Can we know a little about Praveen in early 20s, mid 20s and now?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think it started from college. There was always an itch of doing something different, of maybe building some type of business. It all started with a funny thing called network marketing, something called eBiz is what I did in college. I think third, fourth year with a few friends of mine. And it was the whole regular thing of going to events, giving talks, and then getting people to doing some sales and all that stuff. So it was not the right type of business, but amazing learnings, because you get to actually do hand-to-hand combat sales, and you have to speak to 100 people directly in front of stage. So stage fear is like killed at that moment. Mm-hmm. And it's beautiful to learn the nitty-gritties of hand-to-hand sales and all the nuances that no one talks about in business, which you have to go through like day-to-day and everything. So that's when it started, but I realized that I don't really have any skills that I can actually sell early. So I have to get some type of job. And so after working in 3 years in corporate, I realized that the whole corporate thing is not exactly for me. And working in an office will not really help me travel or do whatever the hell I want or scale up things. And it's not a real ROI of my own time or my day. Because I was working with clients, Fortune 500 clients all over the world. I was working with Mu Sigma, and it was amazing work. It was good atmosphere, at least at that time.
Now, so what were you doing for
Mu Sigma? I was a business analyst and became a data analyst role. It's like a decision sciences thing and data, the big data technical world basically. And we were serving a lot of Fortune 500 clients in the US, Europe, and Pan Asia Pacific. And we're doing a lot of technical solutions for them and big data type solutions, which is very still niche and growing. And I realized that like I can work in an office and we're all remote still. We are working for Americans and all that. Of course, some people has done the sales and we are sitting here in Bangalore office and working. So why can't I get these clients on my own? So that's when the journey started. There was a guy who was teaching some six-figure freelancing stuff. Like he was earning 6-7 figures in USD every year. And I took his online course and his mentorship. And in 2016, after 3 years of working in corporate, I just started, let me try it out for a few weeks and let me see what happens. And in February was when I started. March was when I got my first client. And then moving forward in a few months, by August, I had June, July, I had like 3 clients, consistent revenues. But I was balancing my job, which is like an 8-hour crazy job, and my side business by working at night from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. literally every day. And there was like no life. I was living no life. It was pathetic, but it was amazing. Like I was always in flow state. I was managing a team. I was a manager. And in my day job, I was a client services guy in my night job, which I was doing. And all weekends I was working, every weekend. There was not a single weekend when I went out, nothing. I did like no social life, no life at all. Like maybe 1 or 2 weekends I just took a break because I was just going to collapse. Like easily working 80 to 100 hours a week. Like and that's when I had to make a decision. And Independence Day was coming. So yeah. August 15th.
Which year was that?
2016 was my Independence Day also. So I just decided, like, that's it. I'm out. I just gave my notice period and all that and decided to move out. And that's when the whole remote thing started, basically.
So all this hustle that you're talking about, the motive for that was to get independence, the freedom to be able to travel. Was that the aim?
So travel is one part of it, I think. I think everyone should have location independence. Yeah. That is one part of it, definitely. Mm-hmm. But I think also another part was controlling my day itself. Like, why should an office be from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m.? Mm-hmm. Or from, I don't know, some people have from 1 p.m. to 9 p.m., right?
Yeah.
So I don't like those definition of hours. I want to define my own hours. And I want to do my own work. Like, I understand I'm going to do this work. But I can work. Sometimes I'm really in flow at night. Now I work at night. And then also defining my hours and defining my projects. So in corporate, you can't really define your projects. In freelancing, you can. Like, I like to work in prediction analytics. So I will go and do prediction analytics. I'll try to learn machine learning and all that stuff. And that's my interesting thing. But I would not want to do things which is really boring to me, right? Like some Excel shit or something with data numbers, which I don't like to do, right? But which is given upon a lot of corporate people. And they do it tirelessly just for a sake of the salary or whatever it is at the end of the day. So yeah, those many things. It has to be about your time, about your control. And freedom has been a core value for me. Like freedom from an employer per se. So of course, so you're never completely free. I still have 3 clients, 4 clients. And it's not like they're my boss. I can technically stop the relationship anytime.
Yeah.
So there's many things. And location independence was one of them.
So funny part is freedom comes in almost every podcast that we record. We did one episode with Lucky Ali where we talked about freedom a lot. And I think we tend to overplay the word freedom because ultimately, you know, as Lucky Ali said, there is no freedom.
Yeah. Yeah.
If there was freedom, we would be floating in the air.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I think the whole idea is to be able to take charge and be responsible of your time, the place that you're in, and the work that you're doing. With all those dimensions, when we use the word freedom, it just tends to give you the responsibility that you cannot blame anybody else.
Yeah, so it's more about accountability, being accountable for
huge.
What you do.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so my journey of leaving corporate life started back in 2014. I think something similar. We all had the same journey, right? You've been to the same places that I have been to, and now we are here together.
Yeah.
So it's nice to have, you know, like-minded people around and sharing the same stories, same ethos.
Yeah, I mean, Praveen, I'm really interested to know the transformation that you have seen in yourself. Because we've been living together now in Nomadgaon for a couple of days, and we've had very personal conversations with each other. And I think even yesterday when we were out, we were discussing about how much solo travel or travel really impacts you on a very human way, how you shift the perspective of how you look at the world. I want to know the transformation that has happened in your life before the travel happened and now when the travel, you are on the journey of traveling.
Right, absolutely. So I think I remember doing a few solo trips even during corporate. When I was in corporate, I just took a week off and went to Goa, and I was in South India somewhere in Chennai or Pondicherry. And I've done these things completely solo because the problem with groups, and I'm not, I love going out with groups and with my friends, and that's amazing. But with solo travel is when serendipity and a couple of interesting things come together, and you really don't know what will happen by the end of the day. And the things that you would do, like yesterday we went out, right? We didn't know that we'd go to a beach or which beach we'd go to, but we ended up at some beach or the other.
Twice.
Absolutely. So those things can only happen when you don't have a plan.
Yeah.
And when you let loose completely, and when you completely go with the flow.
Just to give a little context to what happened yesterday to the audience, we went to a beach and it was too crowded, and we asked somebody else which is the closest next beach. We started on to go to that next beach, but we took a 5 kilometer U-turn, came to the same beach. So that's what happened. Yes.
And I think what happens in solo travel is you are putting yourself out of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
Because when you're always with friends, you have someone to talk to, you have someone to sit in. And then in India, this culture is just so weird. I mean, you go to a restaurant, you never see one person sitting. But this is so common everywhere outside India. Right, you have cafes where literally people are working. Now it's becoming more common in Starbucks, people are working, or in multiple coffee shops in Bangalore. You will see from third wave to we have like like 4 or 5 new chain of coffee shops in Bangalore where people are literally coming solo and sitting and working. But imagine just enjoying a meal right now, like not looking at your devices, right? You're just having a meal by yourself. You're just there with your own thoughts, with your own head. Are you really comfortable by your own self? Because that would help you even in having relationships with other people. People jump into relationships with other people as a crutch. Like, oh, you're there with me. My girlfriend is there with me. My boyfriend is there with me. My husband, wife, whatever, right? But the problem is, I mean, you're always with someone. So that means you're always listening to their thoughts or their things. You don't have independent thoughts or voices of your own. So to build your own independent thoughts and voices, you have to do some type of solo traveling. It could even be just going and sitting at a restaurant alone or going and watching a movie alone, right? People just don't do that in India. Like, so I think that's been super helpful for creating my own unique piece of thoughts and my own unique piece of a, you know, whatever unique career or little success I've had, basically. So yeah.
And all the different cultures that you've seen, the Asia that you've traveled, the Europe that you've traveled, do you see that you've learned things from different cultures that you bring back when you come back to India?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think work ethic and some type of work-life balance or that adventure, so these are from, some are from Europe, some are from Southeast Asia, some are from even parts of India. You can learn so much in India, right? Like as we say, if you just go out 100 kilometers, people will speak different languages in India. So it's crazy. So I think some interesting things I've learned is one interesting thing I noticed when I was with my brother in Germany. He told us a story how everyone gets up and runs at 7, 8 a.m. for the office. Right? Everyone's running. And at 2 p.m., the standing desk goes up. And everyone's like standing and working for the last 1 hour. And everyone's wrapping up work. At 3 p.m., everyone rushes back to home. They change their dress to their workout clothes. And everyone's off either to a mountain, to a beach, or to some adventure place. And they're doing their hikes or their mountain thing or whatever thing they have. And that's like a rigorous thing. And they'll do it for 2 hours every day after their work is scheduled. The work cannot go beyond 2 p.m. So they have to finish the work, right? There is no concept of work going beyond that. And that's how they're so effective, right? Like, I have to go do climb that mountain or whatever they have to do. So I think that's amazing. So I have tried to build in routines here or wherever I am. Like, I'll go surf in the morning and then I'll continue my work or whatever. I have these habits or these things that I can build. So those are very helpful to learn from multiple cultures.
So Praveen, you have lived in a lot of co-working, co-living places during your journeys in Southeast Asia, because co-living is a very new concept in India.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on co-living and community?
So I think I've been only in Southeast Asia to our mutual places that we've been to, like Koha, an outpost, and now I'm at Nomadgaon. So I think it's a very, very niche and a unique thing where interesting people, where people who are just location independent come together. And it's interesting to meet such people. Like last year I was at Koha for almost a month. And it's interesting, someone's just studied, someone's taking a year off, someone's doing a PhD, someone's just has a normal job, but he can travel. It's like a remote job. And so it's like you meet these diverse set of people, right? And they all have their own worldviews. So when you talk to them, you can learn so much from them. Because not each view will match yours, right? And it should not. I try to meet as people as much different they are from me. And also as much alike they are. Because that's when the magic happens. That's when the tube light happens in your brain, where you can think of whoa, damn, he's living a different life. So yeah, I think that's very helpful. And from a co-living perspective, what happens is if you're there in like a single building or if you're working in a single office, you of course have to meet them. You meet them in breakfast, you meet them at lunch, you meet them at dinner, or you go out together on events or on adventures. So I think there's a healthy amount of discussion and a healthy amount of interaction that happens. So I think that's absolutely fun. And then there's a huge amount of learning that happens in that. And of course, friendships, relationships, whatever, and all that stuff. So
so post pandemic, how do you see the culture of co-living or remote work evolving in India?
I think that day you were talking at a dinner table, someone said, I think I'm an average guy and I'm traveling, so I think a lot of India will be traveling. And I think that's true. Like a huge amount of people have come to Goa, a huge amount of people have gone to Himachal, are the two hot spots in India. So it is definitely going to grow. And the fact that the FAN companies, the Facebook, Amazon and all have done work from home for the entire year and for 2021 to some companies. So that would help all these startups and the small companies to also, you know, approach at least a little bit of remote first, if not completely. So there's a lot of challenges in India because this micromanagement is a huge thing, which is why I left corporate. But thankfully, not all companies are like that. Not all managers are like that.
I think the new generation managers are now pretty much off. And
yeah, absolutely. So I think it'll definitely pick up. The only thing is how people manage their work and the other part of their life that they have, and how they really, you know, are, because freedom comes with discipline too, right? You need to have, only because I did that hustle early, I was able to get that freedom. And only now that I have that freedom, I have to get up and work too. It's not like I'm chilling all day at a beach. My retirement is not to sit and have pina coladas at a beach, right? My retirement is to actually work at projects that I enjoy, that are fulfilling to me, because that gets very boring. I was at a marketing event in Thailand this year, and he said that the retirement is a pipe dream, right? And everyone approaches this retirement, but you will be bored in 2 weeks sitting at the beach and having pina colada and scrolling through Instagram, right?
Oh yeah.
It's going to be boring as fuck. So The only way to do it is to find work that you really enjoy. It could be anything. It could be a job you enjoy. It could be an event you're running or whatever. And then mixing it with your lifestyle that you want to live, like a ideal lifestyle. So yeah, I think it starts from there.
So what's your ideal lifestyle?
I think I still have to find it, but I have this nice note in my Evernote where I keep adding ads. It's called ideal day and ideal year. So my ideal lifestyle is living 3 months in each country in a different climate, in a different area, like 3 months of October, the Q4. We are going through Q4 right now, quarter four. October to December should be in a beach area. January to March also in a beachy area, but in a different country hopefully. And then April, May, June is in a hilly area which is cold, and then since it's summer, it will be decent weather over there, not super cold. And then again, yeah, just mixing four quarters in four beautiful climates and living 3 months at a place. That's my ideal year per se. And then you convert that to an ideal week or a day or whatever, and then you can design your life just simply by breaking things down.
So Praveen, you have been to a lot of events. You invest heavily on going to workshops and learning
personal development. Yeah.
Personal development. Yeah. So do you think that has helped you in your journey?
Yeah, absolutely. The whole thing started with an online course, imagine. So in 2016, that first online course actually helped me. But the issue is, right now there's like so many courses, everyone's building a course, even I'm building a course. And the problem is not the course itself, which course you pick. It's about what you really do with that course and how much action you take and how much accountability you put up, right? Like sometimes, like a funny thing is even the amount you're investing in the course. If the higher it is, the better it is, because you're like, oh shit, abhi itna paisa dal diya, abhi to I need to work hard, right? So it's like that, really. So sometimes people are even giving $100 value, but their price is $10,000, and people will buy that and they'll take more action than what people would have done at $100 ka value, because they've invested so much. Now I'm like, oh shit, I'm giving the same information, the exact same information. That's what happens at big events, right? Big events, the price is high, but the same information available at online courses for very free, because that same thing is repurposed everywhere, that same content. So I think, yeah, personal development has been huge. I think I actually enjoy it. I'm almost like a nerd with that. So I even consume content all the time like that. Like I've gone overboard, but I think a little bit of healthy amount is super crucial for your own growth, especially if you're taking a unique path. If you're not having a corporate job, I need to know how to market myself. I need to know how to get clients. I need to know how to maneuver this world. So I have to constantly invest. And every year I have like a 10% quota of anything I earn, 10% will go to self-development. And so, yeah.
For a layman who's working in a 9-to-5 right now, do you have a simple roadmap that they can follow to get to a position where you are right now?
Yeah, I think so. So I think freelancing is what I know of, and that's what I would recommend, because even before freelancing, first I would recommend, since the whole 2020 has happened, I would recommend negotiating getting a remote job of your own job. That's the first thing. Write a nice email. You can get these templates online too, like a remote job template. Write a nice email explaining to your employer, I would like to not come to office anymore for 2021, right? And then tell them why. Give them pros and cons. Give them the actual things you will do. Give them how you will be accountable. Give them what should happen if you are not accountable, and write this nice detailed email to your employer or your manager or anyone, and just literally ask for it, right? That's the first step, I would say. If anyone wants to go remote, just try to convert your own job. This is in classic Tim Ferriss's book itself, 4-Hour Work Week, right? Who started it all in 2008, 4, whatever. So that's what I would recommend first. If that does not happen, try to get a remote job in your own field, in your own niche, whatever area that you're good at. If that does not work, then you have to find a new approach, right? Where you can leverage your own existing skills, existing technology stack, or existing whatever you want to do, basically. You want to explore. And freelance is like the fastest way, because in 3 months, you can get 3 clients and completely change the shape of your cash flow, your income, and your life if you want, right? If you're doing it in a strategic manner.
Yeah.
So these are 3 top things I would recommend. And going into online business, that's a crazy another world altogether, if you want to maneuver that, because that's a different topic altogether. But yeah, these 3 would be the simplest one for any 9-to-5 person who wants to quickly do that, like in 6 months, 12 months. So yeah.
So what are the resources do you recommend for someone who wants to start with freelancing?
Yeah, so I've personally used a lot of Upwork. Upwork is a platform that is a marketplace that connects freelancers and clients. But there are multiple ones and now there are also niche marketplaces coming up. That means for data science, you will have a marketplace called Expertify. For development, you will have a marketplace called Remote Code or Remote something. So there's multiple niche marketplaces coming up. I would recommend building a nice portfolio of whatever work you've done before, understanding where, and market research, going into these marketplaces and understanding what people are actually paying for, where clients are spending big money,
yeah,
or money that you want, basically, where your dream clients really is. That is, market research is a huge thing, huge important, which everyone does not do. They just they try to register a profile on Upwork or Fiverr and then they blame the system. Oh, it did not work for me.
And a lot of people are not able to understand what their time is worth.
Oh,
yes. So they undervalue themselves, and that is the reason they're not able to get, they might be able to deliver quality services, but they don't charge themselves well. People don't, you know, give them that value. They don't get those kind of projects.
And I think trust also comes with your billing, right? If
yeah,
you're selling yourself too cheap, people might think that you are not good enough.
Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly.
Another next question is how to get the value.
Yes, that is a good question. I actually even write about this quite a bit. So I think what I do tell people in India, everyone goes by salary or package. Oh, mujhe 50,000 per month ki salary hai ya mera 10 lakh ka package hai. So a simple thing is to, I forget the number, but divide your package by 50, or there's some very simple number calculation. I think we were talking, Shehzada, the other day of
yeah,
how Kunal Shah and Beer Biceps podcast, they were
yeah,
discussing.
Yeah.
Of how important it is to know your hourly rate, because that will be very useful, not in let's say you're chilling out
yeah,
to decide, but in outsourcing stuff. Like abhi main, if I have to go pick up some document from somewhere or do something really small, and let's say your hourly rate is $100 per hour, you can literally outsource that to
yeah,
Dunzo or to anyone,
yeah,
or just tell someone to go do it for you, right? And you can focus on your work or increasing your hourly rate. Like Nawal Ravikant famously says that his aspirational hourly rate, when he was begging on the streets of India, or when he was starting to work, was $5,000 per hour. And he's making not even $5 per hour. So his aspiration hourly rate was that. And now he's not even available for hire. Like, he's worth millions of dollars and stuff like that. So the idea is to find your hourly rate. There are many hourly rate calculators that you can find online. And the simplest trick is also dividing your package by 50. You get that number in dollars per hour. And you can just pick whatever your hourly rate is. A lot of as you very rightly said, a lot of Indians and East Europe folks underprice themselves from $1 to $10 per hour. But I just want to tell everyone that I know people who charge from $100 to $999 per hour or even more, and they are hugely successful.
Yeah.
Because I remember a conversation I was having in my second year of freelancing. A client called me and he asked what my hourly rate was. At that time, I just started freelancing and I told him it's $20. And he's like, oh, so are you not that good? That was his question. Like, just by the price, he's
yeah,
questioning my ability to do things. So they judge you on the price too. So you have to price yourself in your, and of course, check your industry. Don't just mind-blowingly charge yourself at $500 per hour. Understand your industry, understand your competition, and then slowly go up
yeah,
the value ladder.
And I think if someone is starting new, it makes sense, as you said, do the market research, build the skills that pay higher, right? You mentioned your course, so can you tell a little more about that?
Yeah, sure. So I'm helping a very niche set of people. So since I realized in lockdown, a lot of people were losing jobs, even in my industry, or were facing like 50 to 75% salary cut. So I just started posting, and I've been writing for a while now. So I started posting content on LinkedIn, where I'm just helping people, like a question like deciding the hourly rate, or how to approach these marketplaces, or how to talk to clients, or how to even decide things like that. And I realized that I face so many problems, and everyone has similar problems or different problems that they build in their own head.
Mm-hmm.
Because even though it's such a simple thing, while when you're actually doing it, you will build your own problems in your own head. It's like a mindset thing.
Yeah.
And then to go through all these problems, I thought that there should be a simple pathway I can help. So I started just literally helping people on conversations, and eventually people started to ask me for, you know, consulting help. So I did some consulting help. And eventually I said that I cannot really scale consulting because I don't want to have hundreds of calls or help thousands of people. The only way to scale is just by a simple course, right? So I created a course for helping people understand the freelancing market and then get clients in data analytics itself. So it's about getting clients, winning clients in, so I call my course as Masterclass and Winning Clients in Data Analytics. This is what
Where can people find it?
I can share a link about it.
Sure.
It's on Gumroad basically. So yeah,
I'll put it in the description of the podcast.
Yeah.
I have also created a 5-day free email course for anyone who's coming new and wants to just learn about what freelancing is, right?
Yeah.
So we can offer that. I can give you my links and you can just share that, and people can just click on it and they'll get 5 emails on 5 days so that they understand what the market is about,
mm-hmm.
and what freelancing is about, what they can achieve, what they can earn and all that.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
That would add a lot of value to the audience.
I see you transforming from freelancing to creating your own personal brand. And what I see the next step is using that personal brand to have a marketplace of yourself, to leverage that. How important it is in 2020 to have a personal brand of yourself?
Yeah, great question. So I think in my workshops, in my marketing learnings, I've learned a ton of you know, marketing hacks and these things. So everything gets easier if you have an audience. Like selling anything gets easier if you have an audience. Of course, my main business was B2B. Now I'm going B2C.
Yeah.
to just see if it even works. It's an experiment. Everything I try to do is just as an experiment. If it fails, it fails, right? Like I have 5 to 10 students right now, and they're trying to learn. One guy got success, and he was telling me on the other call, like, hey man, like your course and your learning and your just few replies helped me get 3 clients, and now I'm, he's in the situation I was in 2016. He's got too many clients and too much work in the day job. He does not know what to do. He's in that big model. So coming to personal brand, yes, I think it's huge if you want to run some type of online business,
mm-hmm.
which is another way of remote work. And personal branding always starts with, you know, adding massive value to your audience. You have to provide a lot of free content, free videos, free stuff first. And only then, after you've started helping, you can, of course, create your own events, your own paid stuff and all that. And then, of course, there will be conversions. The people will want to happily pay money to exchange value, right? And
kitna value pehle de chuke ho to.
Absolutely. They'll be like, oh my god. Like, I have a few students, they just bought my course. They've not even watched it. They bought it because they got so much value from my free content only. They're like, hey, I bought the course. I'm not getting time right now. I'm so busy with my clients because I got clients because of you. But I don't have time, but I'm just buying it because you were so nice. You helped me. You did this. So I just bought it as a token of gratitude. I'm like, oh, thanks. Awesome. But let me know whenever you watch it to give me feedback and all that. So,
yeah, so coming back to travel, can you share some experiences that you still remember?
Yeah, for sure. So I think one interesting thing I remember was a cruise trip I had done from Atba Islands to Ha Long Bay. So most people, when they go to Ha Long Bay, they go from Hanoi. What I had done was I had done some research, and some friend told me that don't go from Hanoi, and he told me to go to this beautiful island called Kampa Island, which is in north of Vietnam, and from there take the cruise so that you'll be going to a place which is completely empty, like it's and then beautiful water, beautiful beaches, and you'll be by yourself in those nice stone landscapes of Vietnam. So I think that was a 2-night, 1-day cruise I had done, and it was just amazing. So I think that's and we were just kayaking in the middle of nowhere, like I can see nothing for miles and miles in all directions, and there's just my ship. I jumped from the ship and all that. I think that was one interesting cruise thing. Most of my adventures have been in the sea, the ocean, because yeah, I love that quite a bit. Mountains have not done so much. Hopefully, we'll be doing a few sooner or later. So yeah, mostly C.
Yeah.
So do you, when you look back and who Praveen was and his Praveen's aspirations at the age 22, 21, 23, and where you are right now, your aspirations, how you want to live your life in the coming times, what difference you see and what mindset change have you observed?
Yeah, for sure. I'm just not able to recall what aspirations I had at 21. But yeah, I think initially what happens is we value some numbers a little too much and we don't look at life holistically.
Mm-hmm.
So like a common number is like $1 million, right? Like everyone wants $1 million or a retirement, right? But how does these numbers come? This is societal conditioning, right? For example, if you even pick the top 1% in the US, right? Like the top 1% in US don't earn $1 million. They earn only $386,000 or something, like $400,000. That's it. That's their yearly income of the top 1% in US. I think this is some stat that I picked up recently. And so that $1 million number is really baseless kind of.
Yeah.
So I've tried to look at life more holistically now. It's not just some net worth number I'm trying to reach at or some money number I'm trying to reach at. Now it's more about, like, I have some numbers in mind, of course. I want to hit and maintain that numbers. I also believe in the FIRE goal, which is financial independence and retire early goal. So I have some savings rate and some numbers I want to hit. But that's just one small part of my life. Miserable. There are so many poor people who are happy as fuck, right? They're just like, they're like blissful. So yeah, I think it's like really a balance of multiple areas of your life.
So there's a course on Mindvalley. Mindvalley is the website run by Vishen Lakhani.
Yeah.
So he has a course called Lifebook, which talks about that there are 12 aspects of life that one needs to give equal priorities to, which includes health, relationships, intellectual knowledge that you want to gain, the books that you want to read, or say the experiences you want to have, spirituality, and then career and wealth. But a lot of people in the world, they spend 80 to 90% of their time thinking and working about career and wealth.
Yeah.
But that is just two aspects of the 12 thing. So yeah, I mean, what you're saying is right. But that comes once you achieve certain goals that you set for yourself, and then you realize that, oh, this is not it, right? There needs to be other aspects that needs to be taken care of.
So would you ever want to buy a house?
Where exactly?
So
I think that's a tough question to ask a nomad, right? So my home base has been Bangalore for a while now. So definitely I've been thinking about moving somewhere. So, but I think buying a house is a very, very like a big question, because I think it's a big expense. And we are more like, I think this generation is more the renting kind. You can always just rent and go anywhere. So I try to avoid that question most of the time. But I have thought about it. I've definitely thought about it, because it's an interesting type of investment that I can do apart from all the other investments that I have. The rental income could be a great passive income that can even let me leave some type of work that I don't enjoy, which I'm sometimes doing with clients, right? Like I would have that cushion. And if everything happens, I can have the rental income. So yeah, I've thought about buying a house in maybe Goa or in some place outside India, in like a beach spot or a mountain spot, which is close to nature, and then I can literally properly live, and there's access to internet, there's access to community. So if those things really meet and my financial goals are set and I have the cushion capital to actually invest and not take loans, I hate debt. So I think I would think about it for sure. But yeah, it's not anytime soon, hopefully.
So what are your thoughts about us trying to build this digital nomad community in Goa?
So I think, yeah, it's a great concept. It's definitely picking up in India. Like we know just a handful of digital nomads over the years. But after 2020, I'm definitely hoping it really picks up and it grows quite a bit. Even in my friend circle, I'm seeing people leaving to Himachal and actually working from various locations just all over India itself. So imagine what will happen when the borders open up, right? All that frustration of the lockdown, that months of the lockdown will come out, people will go everywhere. And I think we should really help. I would be happy to spread the word about this community, because what happens if you go to a hotel, if you go to an Airbnb, you're just on your own and you're just in your own silo, in your own head. So it's great to go out and actually meet people and enjoy it. So yeah.
And go to the same beach twice.
Thank you, Praveen. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah.
This is our first physical podcast where me and Mayur
are sitting together and interviewing someone. So I have come to Goa. It's been 15 days. Wonderful to be with Mayur and meeting amazing people like Praveen. Thank you, Praveen, for joining us.
Likewise, man. Thanks, Mayur.
Thanks, Praveen. Stay tuned for the next episode, which will be released next
and
episode.
Please click on the link to find a free course.
Free email course by Praveen. We'll put the link in the description. And please don't forget to connect with us on Instagram.